time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9. Good to be back with you after we missed last week. We were actually at a horse show down in Shelbyville, the RMHA International Show, which was a good time. And I can tell you what, it was a fun event for the horse enthusiast. We got to work hard down there last week, but we were unable to bring you our PCSN Live show. Which means we've got some catching up to do. First of all, start out again with our COVID numbers. We just start there before we get into our recaps of last week.
Yeah, at this point, as of today, there are 58,764 Kentuckians who have tested positive. Of that number, 1,082 deaths have actually occurred. There's been over 1,090,160 who have actually been tested. So out of those numbers, again, over 1 million tested, not even quite 60,000 that have tested positive from that. The positivity rate, 3.89. The numbers continue to kind of go down. At the same time, with those, even though those numbers have gone down on one hand, we still have high positive cases. You know, as of today, the governor announced 776 new cases. That number is still way too high, even though that positivity rate is lower. We've not seen it down in the threes like that in quite some time, in a sense. But still, 776, definitely way too many. Here in Powell County, one additional case as of today. So that means six active cases in the county here as of today. 89 total cases since this all started. 83 have actually recovered, I should say. So, again, at this point, at least our numbers, you know, kind of remain low in many respects as far as what is happening with the local community here. At the same time, here in a couple of weeks, school's going to be opening back up to in-person instruction. And at that point, then what's going to happen once all of a sudden you have roughly two-thirds of the student population more than likely probably coming back to in-person instruction, and what will those numbers look like, let's say, within a week or two after that happens? And then if there's a positive case, then how does the district handle that under those circumstances?
Well, I think that has to be a question that's already been answered by the administration, I would think. You have to kind of look at it as like, okay, if we have a case, here's what we do. If we have two cases, here's what we do. If we have 10, to me, if you're going to start on the 28th, you have to be prepared to have cases. And what you're going to do after that is apparently deal with it and try to stay in school. Now, there has to be a point to where you say, okay, we're shutting it back down. We've got too many cases. I think the combination between sports opening, folks being out more, and then putting the kids back in school, the combination of all those things, and we'll now look at the 1st of October as your new date to say, like, okay, what are the numbers looking like now? I'm with you. The numbers are still too high. However, the positivity rate is down. Hats off to Governor Beshear, because he has said all the entire time, if the positivity rate is down, we'll put more things in place. Or as far as, like, he's lifted some of the restrictions on the bars and restaurants.
Right.
They can now stay open longer. And he said at the beginning, if the positivity rate goes down, yeah, we still have increased numbers, but we have lowered that positivity rate, which means more people are being tested, which is a good thing. And with that being said, you have to have more negative tests than you do positive for the positivity rate to go down. The only telling thing he said today, I heard him talk about, was I think about 10% or a little bit more than 10% of those positive tests were 18 and under. So that is a little concerning when you look at there are still some schools back in session. There are sports teams who are playing, and I know he said that he's glad more kids are being tested. Well, our thing the entire time was the numbers of kids in athletics, because we can play. These kids don't want to get tested, and I say that this way: you don't want to get sick, and you don't get others sick. But you know, if you get yourself tested and you test positive, the season could be gone by you, and you don't want to lose the season. So, kind of the kids are kind of in a catch-22 who are involved in sports. Look, if I get tested and we're positive, we're going to get shut down. So don't get tested. Well, that only is going to spread the sickness. But it's kind of a putting the kids in a bad spot.
Yeah, I think under the circumstances, you're almost, I agree with you, like, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know, because at that point, the last thing I want to do is be the one who brought the team down, in a sense, as far as, like, let's having to be quarantined and whatever the case might be. At the same time, now the false positives, you know, now all of a sudden at that point, that plays out the same way as if someone tested positive, because at that point, you don't necessarily know. You still tested positive, right, no matter if it's false positive or otherwise. So therefore, under the circumstances, yeah, I think you err on the side of saying, I'm not going to, unless it gets to the point to where
sick.
Correct, unless you get to the point where obviously the symptoms and everything are so prevalent at that point, like, I need to go get tested, in a sense, as far as, like, yeah, the things that are happening there that aren't quite adding up, in a sense, as far as the way that you feel physically and some of those additional symptoms. But at this point, I will say that, obviously, the way that the teams have been practicing, conditioning even early on and everything, so far things are well, and I think that the kids are kind of sticking to their same little groups and or pods. You know, I think even the games that we've been to, everybody is social distancing, kind of keeping apart and kind of keeping separate. People are wearing their mask at these games. And as long as we continue to do that, hopefully positive things continue to happen. And as you said before, though, I mean, we're just around the corner from putting everybody back in the buildings, and now let's see what happens from there.
Well, here's my thing. We're getting ready to turn the corner from summer to fall. With the cool weather, more people will be inside. And they're saying it's more dangerous on the inside than it is outside. I still say wait till flu season starts, and you'll see the COVID numbers ramp up as well. Now, I do think the mask will not only help COVID, but it'll help the flu. That being said, we could almost kill two birds with one stone by the mask. So I do think folks, and this came out today, I think, from the KHSA, don't quote me on that. I did see a tweet earlier today that there were some schools in southeastern or south central Kentucky that weren't following the protocols and could be in jeopardy of losing some playing time. And one of the things that I saw the commissioner stated was the fans did a great job coming in. They sat down. They were well-behaved. They were distancing. They were masked. As the game progressed, there was less people wearing masks. There was less people doing the distancing. Therefore, kind of in violation of the COVID protocols. So that being said, and one of the things his warnings were, if what all you're doing is putting sports back into jeopardy, because if you're not going to follow the protocols, health departments are going to be coming in and they'll shut the programs down. And I think, and the commissioner said that the entire time, that look, if they come in and shut you down, then you're not following what you're supposed to be doing. All the KHSA can do is put out the guidelines. It's kind of like the governor. Governor puts out his recommendations. The KHSA puts out their recommendations. Now it's up to local districts and communities to follow those. If not, we said this the entire time, folks, if you're out there pushing for one thing and you're not wearing your mask, you're not following the protocols, you're putting everything that you're asking for in jeopardy, because you want to play, but you don't want to wear the mask. Well, you're the person that's in direct correlation with, you're against it, because you're the person that may be stopping it from happening.
Yeah, and I think, too, as far as the people, you know, I think just being social creatures, I mean, even with myself at work, you know, all of a sudden I'll take off and go out my office door or whatever else, and all of a sudden they're like, ah, oh, forgot my mask.
Yeah.
Well, then I go and I put it on, and I'm wearing my mask or whatever else, and I get back to my office, and nobody's around, and I take it off, and all of a sudden I get up again, and all of a sudden it's like, ah, my mask. It was like there are moments where you remember and the moments you don't remember, and obviously I'm assuming at some of these games, you know, people remember I'm coming in, I'm wearing my mask, I'm getting my seat, and I'm going to leave it on. And after a while, all of a sudden, it's just like, okay, maybe you take a drink, right? And all of a sudden, at that point, you kind of pull it down or whatever else, and then you forget to put it back on.
Well, it's just like we and on the radio at the soccer game the other night, we were masked. You wear glasses. I wear readers. The glasses fog up. I mean, it's really difficult to see, but it's still the protocol. So you got to figure out a way to manage. You know, I heard some people that, I don't think you can hear me well without with the mask on. I thought we sounded fine. Listen to ourselves in headsets.
Right.
I thought we sounded fine with a barrier. I don't think it really infringes on our voice, on how it carries.
Agreed.
I think it's fine. There's a lot of things people can do to, again, let's keep this rolling. Let's protect the seasons that we have and move forward. Again, if you're not willing to follow the protocols that are in place, you're taking a risk of getting a shutdown. So all we can ask is follow those protocols because the COVID police may come and get you, and you'll be upset. But understand, it's for the better good of the people. And it's like I said earlier, these kids, they won't want to get tested to shut down their program, but in the grand scheme of things, that's kind of selfish because you're putting other folks in danger by not getting tested. If you feel ill, if you feel some of the symptoms, I'll use this example. The Cincinnati Reds had two or three players early in the season that had headaches or that had symptoms and self-reported and they had to sit out a couple of games where they tested negative. They were never positive, but they did the right thing. They got tested, and just in case, they came back and played. But there have been false positives in Major League Baseball, and there have been a lot of positive cases, but there's also been false positives. Those people have set out 2, 3, 4, 5 games before they test negative twice and can come back. So the false positives are going to happen. You mentioned that earlier. But then again, they adjust the numbers and take them off the books if it is a negative test followed up. So all the people who are kind of still thinking this is not happening, those numbers are taken off the books once they test negative and they show that they haven't. But to me, those numbers are still high. You look at next door in Estill County today, 18 cases in Estill County. You know, Powell County was like that a few weeks ago. Not 18, but 18's up there.
Right.
And like I said, they're at a point now where it's 18 people, and they're going to start school back in a week and a half. So here's a question. What do you do next? That's where everybody has to go, and you have to kind of look at your local communities and see what's happening. We're going to take a break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Be back in a moment here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
If you haven't driven the new Ram truck, you haven't driven one of the most exciting, powerful trucks in the country. During Ram Power Days going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton, the best deals of the year are in full force with 0% financing available and rebates up to $10,000 on new Ram trucks. From one of the best riding trucks in the 1500 series to the workhorse Cummins Diesel, they are all on sale and priced to move. If you're talking about a new truck and you haven't looked at the Ram, you don't know what you're overlooking. Great deals and a great place to buy at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Call them at 606-663-2856.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account? And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a brand new phone but really don't want to pay hundreds of dollars up front for it? Then Appalachian Wireless has the deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage plan. Instead of paying $400 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and a few bucks more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Got a few things going on here in the next few segments. Stay tuned later. We'll go over the KHSAA Board of Control, or Policy Board, excuse me, met today and set some winter dates and some winter stuff going on. We will talk about that later, but first, we're going to recap last week's and this week's events that have been done so far by the Powell County sports teams.
Yeah, and on one hand, you know, when you go back and look, really, Friday night, big football game for the Pirates, the home opener. It was also senior night, which is kind of a rarity, but, you know, we're finding that a lot of schools are actually trying to get that out of the way just in case something happens to be able to recognize those senior players. So they did that prior to the game on Friday, or was it at halftime? I can't remember. Some are doing it prior and some are doing it halftime, and I'm getting myself confused about what's happening. But regardless, still senior night on that night. Things didn't start out that well for the Pirates. On their first possession, they go down, get it all the way down to the 35 in Prestonsburg territory. Looks like, you know, they're going to kind of make progress or whatever else. A couple of penalties, and the next thing you know, they turn the ball over. And then a play later, after a offsides against the Pirates, the quarterback Sloan for Prestonsburg runs for 55 yards out, and he ends up scoring a touchdown. So the Pirates look like they were, you know, going to be able to score on that opening possession. Instead, they give it up. They come back and give up the score. The two-point conversion was good. Then at that point, Powell, you know, kind of gets stopped again. Prestonsburg gets the ball back. They come down. They score again. This time the two-point conversion was no good. It was 14-0. Then they come back. Prestonsburg again goes up 22-0 at this point and thinking, okay, it's not looking very good for the Pirates right here. I mean, at that point, the way that they had been playing prior to that first offensive possession looking a little rough, thinking, okay, this has the potential to potentially just be a blowout on in many respects. But Powell answered. They ended up scoring right before halftime. They go down 22-7, come out of the locker room, and at that point thinking there's two options, right? You're either going to pull things together, you're going to get back into this game, or you're going to continue to not play as well, and you know, you're going to come away with a loss. Brian Baker, the kicker for the Pirates, comes out, does a little high-arching pooch kick, in a sense, as Prestonsburg was to receive it to start the second half. One of the Prestonsburg players raises his hand, you know, I've got it, in a sense. He doesn't get it. It bounces, falls right into the hands of the Pirates, and then they end up scoring. So all of a sudden, just like that, and all of a sudden the extra point was good, and now it's 22-14. They do the exact same play. Baker kicks off, high arching, goes 10 yards, same guy, calls for the fair catch, doesn't catch it, bounces, Pirates get it back again. They go back and score. Now all of a sudden it's 22-19. So in no time at all, the Pirates are right back in it. At that point, Prestonsburg comes back. They score. They go up on the Pirates. Then the Pirates come back and they score and they go back on top. And then the Pirates finally score the final one, 34-28. Prestonsburg gets the ball back. They start to move it. And then at that point, they're faced with a 4th-and-11 in Pirate territory or in their own territory. So at that point, what do? You know, a little bit more than 2 minutes to go. The head coach, Brandon Brewer, he decides he's going to punt, hoping his defense can possibly hold. At that point, they weren't able to hold. Pirates ran the clock out and come away with an impressive victory, 34-28. A tale of two different halves, basically. The first half, the Pirates were not playing well. Prestonsburg was playing well. The second half, the script flips. In a sense, the Pirates come out very impressive offensively and defensively, able to do just enough to actually stop Prestonsburg and to come away with the victory. But when you're down 22-0 and you're able to come back and win.
Running the wing tee.
Yeah, running the wing tee, exactly. You know, under those circumstances, come out and win 34-28, impressive victory. I was glad Greg McIntosh, who kind of came back and helped out for that particular game. He did the play-by-play. I was glad in a sense that that was kind of his way of going out officially, I guess, kind of, because even though he kind of had retired, you know, his last game, I mean, I don't even know when that even would have been, to be honest with you, back during
February basketball season.
Yeah. Right at that point. So, you know, a long stretch, but for him to kind of have a game like that where they're down and be able to come back and get the play-by-play, I was happy for him and obviously happy for the Pirates.
Yeah, I got to listen to the game on actually at the horse show. I was listening to the ball game for the majority of the second half. I think actually picked up the broadcast the second onsides kick. We'd already onsides kicked it once and scored, and you all were talking about the first onsides kick, then we onsides kick it again. So I think, and I saw a tweet from Scott Wells. Landon, well, did he get both recoveries, I believe?
I think so,
yeah. The onsides kick, so way to go, Landon. I'd like to go back and count how many onsides kicks that Powell County has had since Tony Burchett took over the program, whenever that was. And Tony always said, I don't ever call an onside kick. Well, Tony, I think you're lying, because somebody's calling it, because we onside kick people to death. And it just seems like every year now, this is the, what, fourth coach since Tony? And Mike Jones, in his first game, we got back-to-back onside kicks. And you know, you listen to you and Greg, it's a questionable call right out of the gate.
And risky.
You're either going to give Prestonsburg the ball in really good field position, and I'm sure Coach Brewer is very upset with the kid that called the fair catch and didn't catch it.
Twice.
Because, yeah. That's just, if you're going to call the fair catch, go catch it.
Right.
Luckily for the Pirates, he didn't. And it worked out really good on senior night for Powell County. You got to give him kudos to Mike Jones, sticking with his guns. He told us a couple weeks ago here on radio, you know, the wing tee is what it is. It's an offense that can keep the defense off the field. And from what I heard, once the second half got rolling, I think he really at halftime made some adjustments somewhere, because it really started clicking against Prestonsburg. It was really hard to stop Powell County. And at least this is what I was listening to. And Powell County, again, made some good defensive adjustments as well, because they were then at some point stopping Prestonsburg better than they did in the first half.
Definitely.
So I think, you know, and I thought Powell County has always been, for whatever reason, has been a second-half team that makes adjustments at halftime. But, man, it just wears us out as broadcasters or fans, because you get down and you're thinking, man, are we going to be able to come back? And then you have to play a good second half. But it'd be nice just to start out the game and just have a nice start, and then you just kind of go that way. You know, Friday night's going to be a really tough matchup with Breathitt County. Big victory for Breathitt on Friday night. versus Estill County, high-scoring matchup. So either no defense was played at all.
Would be my guess.
I mean, it's just pretty much everybody gets the ball, scores. Breathitt apparently stopped Estill a few more times than they did Breathitt. But when you score in the 50s, I guess it's 50-something to 30-something.
60 to 43.
I mean, that's a lot of points to put on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, Palcat's got to be on their best defensive game. Breathitt kind of comes in here with a high-powered offense. They like to throw, run. They like a good mixture. Powell County hopefully will run the wing tee and be successful and keep their offense off the field.
Yeah, for the Pirates, Stephen Norris ended up rushing for 131 yards, and that was followed up by Tyler Charles with 111. So those were the two, you know, big players. But then Larry Shiflett, he rushes for 82 yards. He only carried the ball four times for 82 yards. So, I mean, he had some really productive big runs, you know, and then Josh Ledford, you know, he rushed for six times, only 8 yards, but they found a way or whatever to be able to stop him. But the other players, defensively, Prestonsburg just had a hard time, especially in the second half. You know, the Pirates, as far as receiving, threw the ball a couple of times, three times, only caught it once for 3 yard gain. Under those circumstances, we know that the Pirates are not necessarily a pass team. You know, we're going to expect them to run, but I didn't necessarily give credit where credit was due on Friday night, and I'll actually do it now. The offensive line for the Pirates, I mean, considering that they were able to open up and block for those backs, they did an outstanding job, especially in the second half. They did just enough to open up those lanes to allow those backs to get that push, if you will, and to, you know, run off some big yards, and then, more importantly, keep that clock running. You know, when you can keep your defense off the field and you can keep running clock. And obviously, if you can come away with a score, that much better. But let that clock continue to tick down, in a sense, and kind of shorten the game. And then when you look at what Prestonsburg was able to do for them, Braden Sloan, the quarterback of all people, he rushed for 127 yards on 10 carries. And then Nathan McGuire had 99 yards, and then Ethan Jarvis had 78 yards. So big workhorses, but still, their quarterback, you know, kind of one of the big players for them. And then it got sloppy in the second quarter. A lot of penalties. At one point, you couldn't even keep up with them. I mean, there were multiple penalties on one play. Be a face mask this way, and then a hold. So you're moving the ball here, and then it's going back, and then it's up, and then it's back. I mean, it was like every play for like probably like 10 consecutive plays or something. And it was crazy, but they finally got things straightened out in a sense. But still, an exciting game. Again, kudos to Coach Jones. I'd love to have been in at halftime just to hear what that speech was kind of like. Because at that point, you know, when they were down 22-7, I think that when they were able to score, that kind of lifted them up a little bit, realizing, okay, even though we're down, like, we just scored on them. We've proven that we can score. Now let's put it all together and let's see if we can't roll with it. And obviously that's what they were able to do.
It's a huge difference to go in two scores versus three. That's huge, especially mentally. You got the last score of the half. You're going in kind of on an up note. The other team's kind of deflated a little bit. But again, it makes a huge difference there at halftime. But again, like you said, the offensive line, with the kind of offense we've ran for the last 10, 12 years, the offensive line is huge. The blocking schemes are a little bit different. For this offense that Coach Jones is running, it's similar to what we've been watching with the Belly and the offense we've been running for years. This is a similar offense, except there's a bit more pulling on the guards and maybe pull some tackles. But it's a very deceiving. Still, we're in a kind of deceiving run game, and I do think the Pirates will be able to throw it some, and with some success. They have that potential. They will be able to maybe get those quick hitters for big gains because, again, you're not expecting pass against Powell County. They're going to run it 90+% of the time. But when they do want to throw, catch you off guard, those are going to be some big plays, I think, for Powell County. And Coach Jones alluded to that a little bit earlier. We'll go ahead and take a break here from PCSN Live, come back and talk about soccer and volleyball, as we update those as well. Here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkel Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinkelcontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkel Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fulton along with Ken Simon. And now we'll talk about some girls volleyball, what they've done so far and what they've got coming up.
Yeah, on one hand, the Lady Pirates volleyball team with head coach Ken Jones, very impressive to start the season. They are 4-0 overall as they started off the season at home against Bath County. They won 2 out of 3 sets. To take that, and then they followed that up and played Lee County a week ago today. They beat Lee County 2-0, and then on Thursday of that week they played at Buckhorn, won 2-0, and then last night they traveled on the road to play Bath County again at Bath County, and this time they won 3-0. So early on in the season, it was best 2 out of 3, and now we're guessing maybe 3 out of 5, just considering that the Pirates, Lady Pirates, I should say, ended up winning 3-0 at Bath County. So yeah, maybe under circumstance, they're back to the regular 3 out of 5 sets.
On the scoreboard, we were looking at a lot of scores, and the majority of the scores were 3 out of 5 versus 2 out of 3. So maybe that's a change. Ken Jones, if you're listening to me, just shoot me a text, whether that's been lifted or if it's just district games, how that has been played out on the 2 out of 3s. If not, we'll just kind of assume that's the way it is.
Yeah, and again, very impressive. I mean, some of these scores, 25-8, 25-12, 25-11, 25-12, 25-7, 25-11, 25-18. Again, the Lady Pirates are really have come out of the gates, and I think one of the things probably to their advantage, at least early on, was that under the circumstances, if you have to win 2 out of 3, you might as well go on and claim that first one, get that second one, and be done and go to the house, right? No sense in sticking around and allowing a team, in a sense, to come back on you, whether it's to win a first set or the second set. And I think they have the right state of mind, the right mindset, in a sense, as far as the players. We've interviewed Joanna Centers. We had her up there, as well as
Hannah Jones.
And, you know, that was one of the things that they ended up stressing, in a sense, was that we realize now there's a sense of urgency, and we have to take those first two sets, in a sense. So obviously, if they can continue to maintain that level of play and that mindset, then obviously things will go well for them. Now, they do play tomorrow night at Lee County. Again, they defeated Lee County 2-0. 2-0 will be at Lee County tomorrow night. Game time at 6 o'clock. We will have that game live on Facebook, WSKV Facebook page. We'll be streaming live. And just as a reminder, we are streaming these games live on WSKV's Facebook page, whether it's volleyball, football. We had soccer earlier in the week. It's actually there. And so when you go to the WSKV Facebook page, you'll be able to see these games that we've actually already done. We had technical problems with the football game last week. Hopefully we got that lined out, and you know, we'll be able to broadcast the Breathitt County game for you. But all in all, I feel like that people are pleased being able to have that video
coverage.
Yeah,
because coverage. They're going back.
Yeah, and at the same time, just the number of viewers that are actually watching it. We're getting comments from different people in the community that are enjoying that aspect of it. In hindsight, boy, it would be nice to have been able to do this for years, right? You know,
yeah.
But still, better late than never. And now with Ethan Moore kind of doing the coverage as far as the video and everything, great quality, and we're definitely pleased with everything that's happening right now in that area.
And with that, there is an expense that WSKV is picking up. They're having to pay a fee to be able to bring you those games, although it's at like at a reduced rate this year because of COVID. But, you know, on the sales side of it, some of you guys want to get involved in sponsoring the sports. Now you're going to be able to view it pretty much anytime you want to go view it. You can watch it.
Yeah.
3 days after the event, whatever it is. If you want to go back and watch, you can. But if you want to get into the sales and talk to us about getting a sponsorship for the sports package, just give Ken or I a call, and we'll try to do our best to hook you up with some kind of a program to that fits your needs. But again, we've got a lot of sales opportunities for folks on the sales end. But again, with this Facebook ad, man, I really think it increases. We saw that this weekend at the horse show. Ethan actually streamed the RMHA International in Shelbyville, and over 30,000 views for the first, and that was early on day four. And again, you can go back and look at these anytime you want to. So if you do a sponsorship on something like this, it's on there for a while. So
right.
it's really a good advertising tool. So again, jump on board if you're someone who's looking for some type of a sponsorship or to be able to support WSKV's broadcast of the games. Again, we plan on bringing you, I think, what, 24 games this fall.
Right.
And that doesn't even get us started on the basketball season. And this Wednesday night broadcast will continue. And that's part of your package as well. So a lot of good opportunities for folks. But again, the volleyball, when we talk about volleyball, I was adding this up. Giving up 11 points per game, that's impressive. Scoring 25 per game and giving up 11. That's and then one game they had that gave up 18. That's the only game they've given up more than 12.
Right.
That's pretty solid. Now again, tomorrow they'll play Lee County. That game is away, but we plan on bringing you that game both on radio and on Facebook Live. And then the 23rd they'll play again. That game is away. Your next home game for your Lady Pirates will be the 24th. And that's at 6:00. That is, I believe, Ken Texas earlier will be senior night here at Powell County. So again, I know everybody can't come to the game. Check them out on Facebook, or if you can get hand those two of those vouchers, support Powell County volleyball, and it's the same for all sports with a voucher system. I think you know, was at the soccer game. Was it Monday? We'll talk about it in a minute. But again, we'll take a break. Come back and talk about boys and girls soccer. Here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now. now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Snuck back up on me there. Welcome back to PCSA Live here with Dave again. Again, now talk about soccer. We actually broadcast on Tuesday night. I've lost track.
Monday night, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
It's Wednesday,
so it was Monday night. Yes.
Monday night.
A Monday night boys soccer match, and they played Jackson City, which is a district opponent. It was also their state. It was Powell County's senior night. So they've got off to a really good start this year.
Yeah, they really have, and I think if anything with this particular team, they're sitting at 3-0. The boys soccer team, head coach Doug Turner has his team a well-oiled machine in so many ways. I mean, they won their first game at Paris 9-4, the second game at Letcher County Central 8-2, and then they ended up winning Monday night versus Jackson City 10-0, and that game ended with about 20 minutes still to go in the game because of the 10-goal rule. But the way that this Pirate team playing offensively, you know, they started out Cole Dunn, scores. Daylon Williams gets a score. Then Williams follows it up with another score. Then Cole Dunn gets a score. So with basically with 11 minutes to go, and they play 40-minute halves, with 11 minutes to go, the Pirates were already up 4-0. And then Kennan, Jared Kennan, I've got myself confused now here at this point. I don't even have the roster in front of me, but anyway, Seth Kennan, there you go. Seth Kennan, sorry about that. Seth Kennan ends up, scoring his first goal, put the Pirates up 5-0. And then he follows that up basically 2 minutes later to get his second goal. And then Cole Dunn gets his third goal in the first half, and the Pirates led 7-0 at halftime. And then they come back, and Cole Dunn scores with 26 minutes, 55 seconds to go to make it 8-0. Seth Kennan scores 5 minutes later to make it 9-0. And then Daylon Williams scores actually about 15 minutes to go to make it 10-0. But one of the things that's impressive about this Pirate team, a lot of seniors. But these players, though, were around from the very beginning when they started the league. So, I mean, these guys were elementary, you know, age in a sense as far as when they've been in this particular sport. And you can tell, based on their skills, probably more impressed with their speed than anything. Like when they were making passes to each other and or would kick it at that point to lead a player, Powell's players are just outrunning and out-hustling the other team to go track down that ball to give themselves opportunities to have shots on goal. And the speed, in many respects, was probably the most impressive part of it to me as far as the overall game in which they played that we saw.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the offense. Again, they probably had 35, 40 shots on goal. When you look at what Jackson City was able to do, and again, they only had 11 play or one extra 12. Player, 12 yeah. players, and they were a co-ed team. However, I think some of the girls were some of their better players. But, you know, in soccer, I don't think it matters that much whether you're male or female if you got talent. They had some really good talented players, but only got maybe 5 shots on goal the entire night. That's just not going to really get it done.
Right.
And I just thought Powell County's defense was really good. And then, it just flows right back over to your offense. I do like the way Powell County soccer pushes on offense. They're trying to score. And I've watched soccer in the past where United States team, I've watched them, and they drive me nuts because for the first, they play 45 minutes a half, I guess, for the first 43 minutes, they're playing defense. Last minute and a half, they try to score. And then the second half, the first 43 minutes, we're going to play defense again. Then you try to score for the last minute and a half, try to get one goal. I get that, but that makes soccer kind of a boring game, if you get my drift. However, if that's the way you play, you know, Germany, I used to watch them, they were attack mode. This is the way the Powell County Pirates are playing, like that Germany team was several years ago that was just phenomenal. They were always in attack mode. I like that with this Powell County Pirate teams. Those people that are in your way, just kind of look out because I think this is going to be a good team all season long.
I would definitely agree with that. Again, very exciting. And I think on one hand, it goes back to just coaching philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, if someone is an old school coach.
Defense.
Yeah, they're going to play deep. Right, we're going to play defense and see if we can't catch a break and score a goal. But the modern game, we're going to press, in a sense, as far as press the offense, and we're going to keep pushing and see if we can't create opportunities for ourselves and score by out-hustling, out-performing, out-playing your opponent. And obviously the Pirates, I mean, they're coming in averaging 9 goals a game.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, those are crazy numbers. Now, granted, what's the competition been like? You know,
we only saw one game.
Correct, and not necessarily obviously on the same level, and they've got still a long ways to go. So, I mean, you know, they can't sit there and rest on their laurels and think that they've accomplished anything, because even though you're 3-0, that doesn't mean anything at this point other than you're 3-0 and you're playing well, but
when
you have to continue on.
The Estels, the Perrys, the teams like that, they were going to know how good we are. You know, those are the top teams every year. Powell's kind of been there.
Correct.
In boys soccer the last few years. Pat County's been right there on the cusp of being really good. This team is a little bit more offensive minded. And I say that, and don't think, I mean, there's no defense. They've got a really good defense
as well.
But understand, this team is going to push the envelope on the offensive side. They're going to try to score. Got a lot of speed, a lot of tools, a lot of threats. This is a dangerous team to have to play. I really like what I saw of the soccer team, and we'll have them again here in a couple of weeks with Estill County.
Double header.
But man, it's a fun group to watch. And on the flip side, they come up again. I think they play again when?
The boys actually play again. Where am I at here? They play at Morgan County tomorrow night.
So that'd be a double header, boys girls double header tomorrow night. We won't have that game. We're bringing you the volleyball game instead. But it'd be a good game for the girls. That's their first opening game for the girls' soccer team, and they'll be back in action next week on the 22nd. We will have that game on WSKV next week for the girls' soccer. So it'll be good to see them in action. But like I said, their first game will be tomorrow, and I wish them the best of luck. I don't know. Obviously, we can't tell you a whole lot about the team because they haven't played. Looking at the team, got a lot of returners. They did lose quite a bit from last year, but a lot of the kids are the same. They bring back a lot of players that were there last year. This could be an impressive team as well.
Yeah, and let's hope so. Again, the fact that they've not had a chance to play in that first game will be tomorrow night. Let's see how they actually come out and react. And then, as you mentioned, we'll have them playing host to Richmond Model on Tuesday the 22nd. Again, game time at 6 o'clock. And then they'll travel on Thursday the 24th at Perry County Central. What's interesting about Perry County Central's team, I think they have an unfair advantage, especially when it comes to regional tournament time. They play on an artificial turf. That ball, the feel, everything is completely different than on a grass field. So therefore, they usually come out and are able to win the regional tournaments, just the fact that they have that truly a home field advantage. It has nothing to do with the fans or anything, other than if you're used to playing on artificial turf, you know how the ball is going to react, how it's going to kick off, you know how it's going to bounce, the things along those lines. But still, definitely looking forward to seeing the girls in action next Tuesday. And then again with the boys, let's see if they can continue to roll on here. Again, lots of weapons offensively, and then even defensively, very solid and sound, as you mentioned. Only about 5 shots on goal. Tyler Smith, the goalkeeper for the Pirates, did a nice job, as well as Greif. Did a really nice job on the back line as well.
Yeah, and Brian Baker really kind of plays that midfielder or on the defensive side of the ball a lot. Man, he used that leg to kick the ball deep and kind of keep it out of your end. So I tell you, Powell kind of brings a lot of weapons, and again, they've got more than those 3 scores. They've got weapons that they can bring up and be good scorers as well. So, again, it's been a really good start for volleyball's got off to a good start. Boys soccer's got off to a really good start. Pack County football got off to a rough start, but they finished well. So they're 1-0 going into Friday night's game. And girls soccer will start tomorrow. So I tell you, it's been a fun season so far. Powell County, again, you look at Powell County, we're the third, I think, largest school in the region. Perry's the largest, Letcher's second. We're third, but it's a close second, third. And then Estill County's, I think, is fourth on that list. So when you look at the top, as far as the numbers, as far as your population is concerned, I think Powell County is really doing a stellar job under sports programs and has done that for years. We just have got to get some teams over the top and win some regions and get a little bit more respect on that end of it. But I think we've got some teams going to be able to push for that this year.
I agree with you. You know, when you're looking at girls volleyball and obviously boys soccer, you know, we'll still wait and see as far as what we when we have a chance to see the girls soccer team, see how that plays out. And then in football, long way to go.
Yeah,
I will say this.
Wait to get to district time, you know.
Right. And in the district, as far as going back to football, Fleming County will have their opener at East Carter this upcoming actually not until October the 2nd, now that I'm looking at the schedule. Lewis County ended up losing to Nicholas County 44-0. Mason County ended up winning over Grant 34-18. And Pendleton County lost to Dayton 39-8. So, you know, Powell and Mason, the two winners, Lewis and Pendleton, both ended up losing. And then Fleming will have their game season opener at East Carter on Friday
and
night.
I'm assuming they still take the four spots. We'll go to the
right
in the regional. So you would think that Powell County would be in line for those four. Hope get as high as we can get it, you know, a
right.
one or two seed. Get to host a game, but we'll see how that plays out. We're going to step away for another break, come back and talk about some pro sports and some of the things that are going on there right after the break here on PCSN Live with David Ken.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
Welcome back to PCSN Live. As we said, talk a little bit about pro sports. Also talk a little bit about college football. The Big Ten is now going to play football this fall. They will start about a little bit later than others. They're going to start, I think, October 2nd, something like that. So Big Ten is now in. I don't know of any of the others that weren't starting or still starting. But the Big Ten is back in. Again, we're going to have to see how this plays out on how far these guys can go. And a lot of these athletes are being put in bubbles, if you will. So it's only going to go as far as your bubble. We've seen how the NBA is working that way. They're now at the semifinal round?
Conference finals.
Conference final.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. Those guys have been in the bubble for a while. It hasn't been an extreme amount of time, but those also... You're talking about what 20 people affected. That's per team, your coaches and your 11 to 15 players, whatever you have on your bench.
It definitely has worked for the NBA. I mean, you know, those players are staying in the hotels. You know, they're basically eating the same foods in their rooms and kind of restricted along those lines. But at this point now, you've got Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. So you have Jamal Murray, former UK player, in his rookie season. He's broke some records as a rookie here. He ended up scoring 40 points last night in Game 7 to beat the LA Clippers to face off against Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Woo. In that, and the Nuggets, first time in 50 years that they've actually made a conference finals.
Really?
Yeah, they were.
Probably back in Dan Issel's days.
Yeah, they had been 0-6 to try and get to the conference finals, and so they finally got over that hump, first time in 50 years. Then on the flip side, you have the Boston Celtics versus the Miami Heat. Miami, Bam Adebayo is on that team, along with Tyler Hero. Both of them have been outstanding players. They ended up, Miami won game one in the series against Boston on a block by Bam against Jason Tatum. And he blocks it with seconds remaining, gets the rebound, then comes down and hits a free throw to put him up three to kind of seal that deal in overtime. So you've got several UK players that are represented on three out of the four teams there. So hopefully at least somebody on one of those teams. I'm not a Lakers fan. That'd be the last team that I picked to actually win.
The Lakers, you know, Lakers were actually always my favorite until they weren't. I just got tired of watching NBA basketball just because I didn't think it was real basketball for a while. But if I had to pick a favorite, it's always back in the Magic days and Kareem. I always liked those guys playing. So, you know, James Worthy, those were some really nice teams.
Yeah. That was back when they were battling against the Celtics year in and year out.
That was some Detroit Pistons. To me, that was really good basketball back then. I think it's still good basketball. It's just a different style of game.
100%, absolutely. Yeah, even the physical play, I mean, there all kinds of things with the game is completely different than the way it was back then.
Correct.
You know, completely different. I'm not so sure that these players are probably more athletic.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they survived the defense they put on.
No, but
then.
We can say that about the NFL as well.
You are very correct,
right.
Sir. You know, all the sports, I think players now are more athletic than they ever have.
Right. Maybe a little softer, but more athletic.
They are more athletic. Yeah, the NFL got off to a good start last week. If you're a Bengals fan or a Dolphins fan, which I'm a Dolphins fan, I think. Are you a Bengals fan?
Saints.
Oh, you're a Saints fan.
No, I'm not a Cincinnati fan of, you know, sorry, no offense to Ohio or
you know, the
Reds
Joe Burrow, the Joe Burrow thing didn't work because the kicker got double leg cramps trying to kick the game winner.
That's
kind of sad for Cincinnati on that totem. But you know, the Dolphins went up against New England minus
Brady,
and Patriots still won. So that being said, the Dolphins, I think, they're a team of the future. The next couple of years, I think they're going to be really good. But we'll see how the NFL plays out. I don't think they're – I think they have bubbles, but they're not as tight as bubbles what the MLB or the NBA has been.
Right.
And you're looking at a lot more players. MLB.
But tomorrow night, real quick, I think, the Bengals play the Browns?
Thursday
I believe
night,
tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, Thursday night football. So it'll be interesting to see
ought to be a ton of fun.
See how the Bengals respond after a heartbreaking loss. And again, I feel the pain along those lines. I mean, I hate that, you know, to lose a game like that when you've put yourself in a position and all of a sudden somebody can't convert and do their job in a sense.
Just a chip shot field goal. But that's the way it goes. You look at the Major League Baseball, and we're running up now to playoff time. You know, if we had more time, we'd talk about this a little bit more. But you've got expanded playoffs. I think this is something that should stick around. You've got extra innings with the runner on second base, like we've done it for years in softball. I like it. It speeds the game up. Doesn't make you play 16 or 17. Brings the bunny back into play. Brings the strategy back into it. I'm kind of liking the DH now, and universal DH. There's a lot of things I'm liking about these COVID rules, if you will. Next year, I think I'd like to see 140-game season and expanded playoffs. Versus the 162, back up your regular season numbers a little bit, make it a more feasible schedule, and let's roll on with expanded playoffs. But as we said, we're going to at least take a couple minutes here, but looking at the playoff race right now in the AL East, the Tampa Bay Rays pretty much are in. The New York Yankees and the Blue Jays are only a game apart. But it's pretty much a three-horse race in the East. In the Central, the White Sox and the Minnesota Twins, if you're the Cleveland Indians, you've got to really hope you get that one of those wild card spots. Right now, they're tied with Toronto, or virtually tied with Toronto. And then on the West, Oakland and Houston, well, actually, Oakland is running away with the West, and followed by the Houston Astros are 500. And as of right now, they would be out of the loop because the Toronto Blue Jays and the Cleveland Indians would have the two wild card spots as we speak. And that will be about 10 more days of baseball is all you're looking at. In the National League, East, the Atlanta Braves are winning that by 3.5 over Miami. 4 games over Philadelphia. Miami's got the 2 spot, but only by a half game right now. So not much there. The Cubs lead the Central. Looks like they're going to win it. Cincinnati is 2nd in wins, but 3rd place overall because of the loss column. St. Louis is 21-22, Cincinnati 24-26. So you look at the numbers, that's 43 games St. Louis has. They got 17 games to play in the next 10 days.
That's a lot. A lot of doubleheaders, right? A lot of 2 7-inning games coming up.
I think they have 3 doubleheaders scheduled, and there's actually going to be 2 games short of the 60 number, which actually, I'm a Reds fan, that scares me to death that the winning percentage may be higher than the Reds when we get there. We'll talk about that later. The Milwaukee Brewers right there as well, only 6 games back, half game behind the Reds, who are half game behind the Cardinals. Tight series there. In the NL West, best 2 teams in the National League, in my opinion, the Dodgers and the Padres have looked like they've got it locked up for the 1st and 2nd place. The Cubs look good. The Braves look good. Other than that, everybody's going to be fighting for those wild cards or 2nd place seeds. I do think it's an interesting take. As far as what the baseball is doing, again, a lot of people don't like some of the things they're doing. I think it makes it interesting. You know, we talk about softball being a faster game. Some of these things they're doing speed up this game. I tell you what, I like it a little bit better. I like the 7-inning doubleheaders even. You know, they don't put you in a huge pickle as far as pitching. If you've got a good starter, they can go 7. More complete games out there, it just kind of pushes those rosters a little bit more. They've actually had expanded rosters. You know, owners may not like it because they haven't paid more people, but as a fan, I like what they've done this year. I really do with Major League Baseball. You know, minus obviously the COVID outbreaks with the Cardinals and Miami Marlins. And actually the teams that were hit the hardest are on the playoff race. So they got extra rest early, but they're going to be taxed here late.
Right, and what's interesting, too, I think, is that the way that the double headers with those 7 innings, all of a sudden you have a chance to make a move based on those games. Now, it's whether or not you are able to win the 2 or you're split or you lose the 2. All of a sudden, I mean, you can jump up or you can jump back real quick based on those double headers. And I agree with you. I think the DH, as far as the National League, I think offensively, you know, you've got to be able to, you know, get things going in a sense. Well, I mean, even the Cardinals last night, I'm a Cardinals fan. They lost like 18-3 last night against Milwaukee. I mean, but there have been large numbers, though, of runs. I think even the Yankees ended up beating somebody the other day, like 22-4 or something.
Baltimore beat somebody bad the other night, and they're pretty much out of it. So,
yeah.
Baseball's still like it always was. Somebody's going to have a big, you're going to have an off night every now and then.
Yeah, a lot of runs that are, you know, still kind of being put up in a sense. So the pitching is not necessarily where we normally see it in some games.
Well, you say that, but there's 3 guys in the National League with under 2 ERAs. You got Yu Darvish, Trevor Bauer with the Reds, and pitcher for the Mets, DeGrom. All 3 of those guys are around 1.7.
Man, that's impressive.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a battle. There are some pitchers, I think, that are still way ahead of the hitters. And if you look at these big teams, like in the Central, Cubs aren't hitting. They're hitting about 220 as a team, 215. The Reds are about 215 as a team. The Cardinals aren't much better than those two. So it's kind of a pitcher-dominated division right now. But it's playoff time for all these teams. So it's kind of like pull out all the stops for the next 10 days, or for the Cardinals, they got a bunch of games the next 10.
Yeah, you got 2 weeks to get it together.
Yeah, you got, I think, 5 with the Pirates, 4 with the Brewers.
They're playing a doubleheader even today.
3 with the Royals, I think, and a couple with the Tigers that may not be made up.
Right.
But again, if you look at that schedule, That's a little bit weaker schedule than what the Reds have with the White Sox and Twins coming up. Whew. I like the Cardinals schedule better, but I'm a Reds fan. As far as the strength of schedule, if they perform like they should, the Cardinals will be tough to defeat out of that two spot.
Listen, we both know this to be true. We are not Cubs fans.
Well, but they're going to win.
Exactly. Win. Yeah, they can win the Central as long as they don't win any beyond that. I don't care.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the Central. I mean, you talk about the Cardinals and Reds. The Reds could probably make more of a run at the Cubs than the Cardinals just because of the number of games they got to make up
true.
On the win column.
Yes.
But that being said, we'll talk about more about the playoffs next week, Wednesday night. We have a bit more time. Try some guests on here as well. But for Ken Simon, this is Dave Falter saying good night from PCSN Live here on WSKV. 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to WSKV Pickup Country.
Welcome to the Tim White Bluegrass Show from Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, the birthplace of country music region in the beautiful Southern Appalachian Mountains. For the next 2 hours, sit back and enjoy.